Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of St. Mark, the gospel text which has already been read. It's the reason why you wear your seatbelt. And it's the reason why you look before you cross the street. It's also the reason why you are careful with things like fireworks and chainsaws and guns, because given your druthers, you'd rather not die. And it's the reason why you eat, especially a lot of fruits and vegetables. It's the reason why you stay active, maybe even exercise and go to the doctor, sometimes even when you aren't sick, because given your druthers, you'd rather live. It's an impulse common to humans and one that we share with the animals, the inclination to want to live and to not die. You know, he knew about Jesus. Everybody in Galilee at that time knew about Jesus, and there was not a person in all of Galilee who did not know about Jesus. They all knew about what he said. But most notable to them probably was what he did. He preached about the kingdom of God. He duked it out verbally with the Pharisees. And he taught often in parables because he knows that we like to listen to a good story, especially stories that teach us about God. He knew about Jesus. And he also knew that Jesus had left. He had gone across to the other side of the sea. And now he knew, because everybody knew, that the boat had just landed and that Jesus is back. Jesus is back. And Mark tells us that a great crowd gathered around him, pushing in on him, and he was beside the sea. And he debarked from the boat, and now he's on the shore, and there's pushing and shoving. Everybody wants to get close to Jesus. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus. It was like that one time, 3 years ago, at the airport in Honolulu. A great crowd is approaching the VIP gate. And as the group passes by the regular people gate, in the center of the crowd, back when he used to be in the Pro Bowl, it was Pro Bowler Greg Jennings. And we've seen that guy make some moves. But no move required more athletic skill than navigating the double stroller through the crowd. And everybody in that crowd wanted a piece of Greg Jennings just to get close to him, make eye contact, maybe get him to sign something. It was like that. The man had paid little attention to Jesus before, the first time when he was here. Life was good for the man. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was comfortable and he was respected in the community. He had a family, including a daughter who was the apple of his eye. The man that first time Jesus was around did not begrudge those who had problems and who sought help from Jesus. It's just that the man didn't really need any help, because he didn't have any problems. And it was not longer after the departure of the boat that carried Jesus to the other side that his daughter began to present symptoms: cough, scratchy throat, nausea, fever. And now she was suffering greatly from some unnamed painful condition, and he was frightened. The man was not a doctor, but he could tell when a person was about to die. And it seemed to this man that his daughter was about to die. And the man with a problem no longer ignored, but sought out Jesus. And when he saw the crowd pushing against him, like Greg Jennings, the man fell at his feet and besought him, saying, My little girl is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. My little girl. Later on, we find out that the man's little girl is 12 years old. In that time, in that place, she was about to get engaged to be married. My little girl. I get that. Kate, our oldest, is 30-something. She's married, lived 5 years in D.C. by herself, supporting herself since she graduated college in 2004, and Kate is still and always will be my little girl. And of course, 20-something Laura was riding the metro in D.C. a few years ago. Somebody grabbed her purse and ran. Laura went and got her purse back. She was trained by the Rangers, and she could kill you with that hymnal. She wouldn't. And Laura is still my little girl. Dads get it. They're always going to be our little girl. My little girl is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him, headed to the man's house where his little girl lay sick, his prayers answered, the great healer going to his house to heal his beloved. And then that woman appeared and butted into their journey, distracting Jesus from going to heal his little girl. She knew about Jesus. Everybody in Galilee at that time knew about Jesus, and there was not a person in all of Galilee who did not know about Jesus. They knew about what he said, but mostly they knew about what he did. He did miracles. Miracles like nobody's business. He casts out demons. He steals the storm. He heals people, lots of people. One time he worked through the night, literally dusk to dawn. Sick person after sick person going into that house with various affliction, each of them exiting that house whole. She knew about Jesus, and she knew that Jesus had gone across to the other side of the sea, and she knew, because everybody knew, that the boat had just landed and that Jesus was back. Mark tells us that a great crowd gathered around him, pushing on him, and he was beside the sea, debarked from the boat, now on the shore, he and his entourage now on the move with Jairus. Her illness was chronic. She had been afflicted for 12 years by a hemorrhage. Now, Wikipedia is not a doctor, but Wikipedia rightly says that a hemorrhage can be a symptom of any number of diseases. It's a blood flow. That's what a hemorrhage is. Theologians who write commentaries and who also are not doctors, but many of them diagnose the woman as having uterine cancer. Maybe you could live 12 years in those days with that illness, if that disease even existed then. And maybe that was the thing causing the hemorrhage, but we don't know. One thing we do know, whatever was causing it, wherever it was located in her body, however great or little the flow of blood, that hemorrhaging thingy probably got pretty old, pretty fast. And she had been to many doctors, going through doctors like a hat golfer goes through balls. When all this began, she had money. Now she has none. Having spent it all on this doctor, that doctor, the other doctor, and in a way that only doctors can, they had only made it worse. This woman is the woman who stands there at the mini mart, and she takes her money and she buys a lottery ticket that's going to make her life better. But I guess not this time. Let's try again. More money. Not this time. Let's try again. And then her money's gone. And she has less money than she started with. Who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had been interested in Jesus the first time around, and the idea that he might be able to cure her disease had crossed her mind, And she thought that she believed that he could do it, and she had vaguely decided to give Jesus a try, but she procrastinated for the same reason why we all procrastinate. And then he was gone, and now he's back. And she had watched this scene play out, how the man actually threw himself at the feet of Jesus, and they had a short conversation. And now Jesus was actually walking with the other man, and this was her chance. But she was a woman, and the crowd continued to press against Jesus, and she thought, if only I just touch his clothing, I can be made well. And she pressed in on the pressing crowd, and she waited for an opening, but seeing none, she made one, and she managed to get close enough to reach out and just touch the end of his flowing robe. And the touch was only for a moment. But as soon as she touched his clothing, she knew that something had happened, and that something was a very good thing. And then he stopped, and everybody stopped, and he turned around and gazed at the crowd. So what was he supposed to say? What was he going to say anyway to the man who had fallen at his feet and asked him to come to his home and heal his little girl? No, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Yeah, that's too bad about your daughter. Those thoughts had never crossed his mind. He looked around him and saw the remnants of his creation. It was beautiful. But what a mess mankind, his highest creation, had made of it. It seemed like they were constantly fighting one with the other, and groups always at war with other groups of people, and they lie and they cheat and they commit adultery and they steal. Instead of using my name rightly, they use it to curse each other. He knew that their sin was the cause of all sickness, and yet they blamed him for it. And knowing all these things, he looked at Jairus, and he thought of Jairus' daughter, and the only thing he felt, compassion for the little girl. And as he was walking with Jairus, headed for his house to heal his little girl, Jesus felt something else. Perceiving in himself that power had gone from him, immediately he turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And his disciples pointed out what they kind of figured was the obvious. You see that crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?" And that dialogue, by the way, is described using verbs in the imperfect tense. Dr. Woolrobby talked about that imperfect tense yesterday at convention, meaning they went back and forth several times in this line of questioning. Who touched me? Can't you see there's lots of people? What are you asking us who touched you for? That went on for a while. And while he's asking who done it, his head on a swivel, looking around over here, now over there, and then the woman steps forth. And she falls down in front of him in awe and reverence and respect and fear, and tells him the whole truth. And he looks at that woman, the one who had been sick for how many years? 12 years. And he says to that woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." She's dead. That's the news brought by some men who were coming from the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. "Your daughter is dead. Stop annoying the teacher." And upon hearing this bad news, Jesus turns to Jairus with good news. "Do not fear, only believe." Stop being afraid, just believe. And then he culls the herd a little bit, cutting out Peter, James, and John. And we all know why, those three, and leaves the rest behind. And when they got to the house of Jairus, there was wailing and crying. And a lot of commotion, it says, going on. That word for commotion is the word used in the New Testament to describe an angry, riotous mob. Crying and wailing were normal things when somebody has died, but going to Baltimore was not, but they were. And why is that? Well, I think it's a social phenomenon known as rising expectations. Any society always wants things to be better than they are, and no society ever wants things to be worse than they are, and different people would describe better and worse in different ways. The fact of the matter is, at some point, a society is going to plateau and things are going to stay about the same, or maybe even get worse. And no amount of stimulus packages is going to change that. Just ask the Japanese. In forensics, they call it the CSI effect. Because on the TV show CSI, they always solve the crime. And so, whenever a crime is committed, people expect it to be solved, because that's the way it works on TV. Doctors run into that. Because medical technology has advanced so far, because we are constantly surprised that they can do that, we are surprised when the doctor tells us, no, we can't fix that. Sometimes that happens in the church. Jesus finds that the problem with healing scads of people is that every time somebody gets sick, they expect him to heal that person every time, and this time he didn't, and it's too late, the girl is dead, and they are going Ferguson. And he says to them, the child is not dead but sleeping, and they don't care who you are, that's funny. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. Having chased the doubters away now, with Peter, James, and John in the house with the little girl's parents, taking her by the hand, he said to her, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately, the girl got up and walked. She was 12 years old, and they were overcome with amazement. And that word walking is also in the imperfect tense. She's walking around, walking around. That word for amazement is defined as to put out of place, showing someone to be flabbergasted, completely stupefied, at a loss to explain or account for something, overwhelmed, astonished, and amazed. Around here, we might say that they were gobsmacked and flummoxed at what Jesus had just done with this dead little girl. It's the feeling you would get if you were at the funeral and the deceased climbs out of the coffin and just sort of starts walking around, the imperfect tense. And Jesus says, hey, somebody grab her a plate. She looks kind of hungry, in the manner of all 12-year-old girls who are always hungry. It's the reason why you wear your seatbelt. It's the reason you look both ways before crossing the street. It's the reason why you're careful with things like fireworks, chainsaws, and guns. Given your druthers, you'd rather not die. And it's the reason why you eat, especially fruits and vegetables. It's the reason why you stay active and even exercise and go to the doctor sometimes even when you aren't sick. Given your druthers, you'd rather live. It's an impulse common to humans, one that we share with animals, the inclination to want to live and to not die. If you have your health, you have everything, right? Problem is, eventually we all lose our health, little by little, in many cases. And after that comes the ultimate loss of health, and finally the ultimate sickness, and that's death. That's death. If you have your health, you have everything. If you don't have your health, you're going to die, and we're all going to die. And Jesus heals diseases. Sometimes God, who gave us our brains, which produced that medical technology, God sometimes indirectly through the doctors and medical people heals us on this earth. Sometimes he waits. Sometimes he waits. The little girl, she died. The woman, she died. Jesus also died and rose again, bringing health and healing to all people, to all of his creation. Sometimes, often that healing takes place here. For sure, all healing that needs to be done takes place in heaven, where we will have our health and we will also have everything. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time we receive the offerings.